cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to our business masterclass, a full hour of business conversation. Of course, the first half hour is a business skills conversation, and the second half hour we have a fantastic SME in the studio. In fact, she's even joining us in this first half hour because we want her to succeed, and we've got a great expert, one of many pieces of a puzzle to help someone build a business. So let me quickly introduce Marang Marikimane. She's the Business in Theory founder and CEO. Marang, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And this is this is kind of usually a show that we do in association with USB Ed. But today you're our expert because you seem to specialize in a very, very unique skill, if I can call it that, to help small businesses scale up. And sitting with us, although she's our guest in the second half hour, is Janessa Leiter, the founder of Think Digital College, a fascinating organization that you must stay tuned to listen to. She's found the perfect model between public school and your homeschooling system, and I've bought into it, so I'm sure you will too. Richard Angus not in the studio, he's gallivanting overseas, so I'm standing in for him today. All right, ladies, Marang, just let's kick off with you. What exactly do you do? Position it like you did in Hook Up Dinner. You were doing a pitch there. Do a pitch for us.
Firstly, thank you very much for inviting me through, and it's probably the quickest promotion that I've ever received in my life, straight up to expert in one afternoon. What I do as Business in Theory is I assist entrepreneurs develop growth strategies for their businesses, and I focus primarily on their business processes because I believe that is an opportunity for us to close a skills gap while we then improving the sustainability of any small business.
Okay. So I was going to ask why getting to this specifically, but what prompted it? I mean, obviously business is more than processes, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but what prompted this specifically? You were building your own career and doing your own thing.
Yeah, I was building my career, and I really enjoyed that career. I was a process and project management consultant, mainly for the big banks. And after a while, I realized that this isn't quite fulfilling me. It wasn't a place where, and things have changed since in corporate, but it wasn't a place where I could achieve my personal goals and the company's goals all at the same time. So I decided to jump ship. I saw a gap in what we were doing. This is 3 years ago. So I saw a gap in what we're doing to assist small businesses. We had a lot of conversations about how to start a business, and we're encouraging everyone to start a business, but there wasn't enough conversations around if you had started 2 or 3 years prior to that conversation, there was an assistance to then grow your operational part of it. And that's why I specifically said, let me use my skills and my experience from corporates and plug it into the SME sector.
Because invariably, if you're a small business, eventually you have to corporatize a little bit, hopefully without losing the soul of your little business.
Yes.
But small business, it's a difficult thing you're doing because small businesses, it's like we need leadership development in schools, but there's no real money. So people do leadership development in corporate where there's money, but where you hardly help anyway. In my view, the habits are set and you know what you're doing already, and it takes a lot of humility to change. But the same, there's often not a lot of money in consulting and helping SMEs because they, you know, the purse strings are, they hold them tight. So how does your model work?
What I've done is I started doing workshops. So I spent the past 3 years doing a lot of workshops around getting the mindset right, ready for this change. So while people are doing the startup phases of their businesses and paying the taxes and the school fees and learning the hard way of running a business, I've come in and I just started the workshops. Fortunately, now they've got some corporate sponsorship, so I can run some of them freely or give a certain percentage of the audience a free ticket. And that has helped to get the mindset right. Because sometimes, a lot of the times rather, it's that entrepreneurs don't know what they're doing and they're afraid of even getting the help without even knowing how much it costs. So if you speak to a small business and you say, well, you need to grow your business, you need systems in there, normally the first answer is, but I don't have money to do it. So if you get the mindset right, you also prep the person in terms of finding out how much does it cost, is it really as expensive as I thought it is? And the workshops allow me to have someone come in and learn how to do it themselves. Because what I do is not necessarily rocket science. You really can write down your own processes, where then I come in is, let me give you advice and say, this is how you can improve it if you choose to do it yourself.
Mm.
Otherwise, I come in, if you can afford to, I come in and I do it from beginning to end for you.
So just now, I want us to talk a bit about your workshops.
Yeah.
I know you do workshops and the exact purpose and role and maybe a bit of a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
But business processes, I mean, tell me what you see as a business process, because me just thinking is a process. You know, the word process is maybe just a synonym for lots of other things.
Mm.
Systems, structures, procedures. So when you say processes, do you specialize within processes, or is it like any kind of process that...
It is, there's basic principles to any process, but simply put, a process is the way you do things.
Mm.
That's just the simplest form of it. How you and I do, say, a simple thing like write an email or drive to the nearest shop may be different, but it's still our process. So where I'm looking for, where I assist entrepreneurs is to identify where you're wasting time, where you're wasting money, how could you do this better? How do you then also transfer that skill to the next person, especially when you're a small business? As you grow, the first things you tend to do is hire.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have the luxury of hiring a specialized skill. You're then hiring somebody whom you just can't afford at that time. So this, with writing down the processes, it allows you to teach someone the way you do things in your business. And then later on, we can look at how to fancy it up or make it cheaper or make it work faster for the team.
So how do you start? You walk into a business. Usually the business should ideally be going for 2-3 years,
mm-hmm.
so that they actually have processes,
yeah,
happening. And where do you start?
Well, I start with running a workshop. And the workshop,
in that business, with the leadership team or whoever, you run a workshop.
Yes, we run a workshop and we talk about what activities do you do in your business. Because the different industries have got different major points of delivery to the customer. So we look at predominantly what do you do to service your customer, to get the product across to your customer. And then we start breaking down each activity or each major process into little tasks.
Yeah.
But then we invite the team to do those tasks, so that each person, and that's if you have the luxury of having a team, but then each person can then say, this is what I do in order to achieve that specific objective for the business.
So really a breakdown of the business.
We break it down to the nth degree, to the end. What tools and systems are you using in the business to then carry it across? And then we say, look, you could be, you know, this tool, you're not using it effectively. You could really, it's got other features. Instead of using two tools, maybe cut it down to one. Or we look at ways that you can upskill people in your organization and start delegating not just a task, but the authority as well. So that when you, the business owner, are not available, then somebody else can actually, has the right level of authority to say, okay, I can do this for you, customer, and I don't have to wait for my manager to get back in order to do these certain things. I don't know if you've ever called into some companies, and government institutions are the worst with this, where they say the system can't do this. And a lot of the times it's because the person doesn't know how to do this. It's not the system that doesn't know how to do this. But
So you would even dig into a process of training people?
Yeah.
Training staff. It sounds like you're coming in with different language, different... positioning, but it really is consulting with an SME in general to help them.
Yeah.
Then you come with another spin, not just to help them succeed, but you help them put in place growth strategies.
Yeah.
So your choice of words are quite interesting. You come in on the process side. Let me help you record processes and so on. Break down your business to do that. And then now let's look at how do we leverage this to grow your business?
Yeah, that's probably one of the very first lessons I learned. Because in the corporate environment, people understood what project and process management is.
Yeah.
This was normal language. But then when I went into the small and medium sector, people were like, what is that? That sounds too big for me. And it cost me in terms of customers coming my way. But I have learned how to phrase it. And I think that's a very important part of the learning curve, is explain it in a way that customers understand it, and it's easier then for you to get the customers coming through.
Okay, but here's an interesting one for you, Marang.
Mm.
Now we've got Janessa in the studio,
yeah,
the founder of Think Digital College, which is going to be very digital, Janessa, right?
That's right.
So, you don't plan on building a big structural business. You don't plan on having hundreds of staff. It's very online driven, very digital, very technological. And that seems to be the direction we're going. Mm-hmm. So the question I have for you, Marang, is as you bump into those small businesses, people are not driving towards growing processes,
yes,
it seems, yes, or growing structures. They're nudging more towards minimizing it and utilizing technology processes, perhaps, mm-hmm, to make their businesses grow, the growth strategy you're talking, yeah, about. So how do you approach a business like this that's very virtual?
We need to bear in mind that the objectives for each business are very different. So if your part of your objectives is to employ people, then obviously using the process manuals works in that manner. Where you're looking to use technology, and mainly technology, as your way of attracting the customers, then how you scale is diversifying the technology that you're using. So where you're using it for college purposes, this has an opportunity to go into a work readiness program. This is an opportunity to go even into a small business to become the tutorial on a training platform for internal training. So that's how I would give you the advice in terms of future growth. It may not be just for the skills that we have today in colleges that exist. People that are bringing in new innovation can come to your platform and say, look, I've got training material that I want to put online, and can I then use your platform to do that?
Janessa, yeah, you do have processes in your business, of course. It might be digital and virtual.
Mm, yes, absolutely.
But you do come from an older business model in the education system where it was about structure a little bit more, hey, and that's employees, yeah, and so on. Now you're in a new world.
Yes, I'm loving this new world. I must say it's much easier dealing with technology than lots of staff. But we will definitely be growing in that area as well, because we'll have tutors in every, mm-hmm, single subject, and subject matter experts. And the more students we have, the more teachers we'll have. So that is definitely something we'll need to put processes in place for. I think the biggest factor that I had to consider at this stage was my learner management system. So I looked at what was available, because there's a lot of off-the-shelf products, but I realized developing my own and having my own IP was going to be the best for me in the long run.
Okay, Marang, you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a fantastic product that you've actually developed.
Thank you.
Must be a need for it. I'm excited about the possibilities. So we talk in leadership about leaders being in the business of movement. Mm. So for me to create movement, I need three things to come together. We say all movement is governed by the integration or the coming together of three things: motivation, mm-hmm, direction, and structure. Motivation, motive, reason, purpose, desire, something that sparks the movement.
Yeah.
Then I need a direction. I need plans. And if it's a car, then it's north, east, south, west, or if it's an aeroplane. Mm. But in a business, I need direction, strategy, and so on. Then I need structure, systems, procedures, whatever other words you want to put, yeah, in there. So I was wondering whether your business, Marang, which, let me just give the name again, is Business in Theory,
yeah,
whether you play in the structural side a lot, or would you also come with directional processes and motivational processes? Does your approach tackle all three of these levels for the business to move forward successfully?
Yes, it does. The benefit of having defined processes and documented processes and an understanding within an organization means that the people that work for you in your teams are aware of where you're trying to take the business. It's not a secret what you're trying to do. You have given them a sense of direction, because you then explain to them, this is the growth strategy that we're going to implement in the business, and this is how it will benefit you in terms of your work environment, and is how it will benefit the business. I've found that also where people know their roles and responsibilities and it's all clear, you remove a lot of the emotion out of the day. So you don't have to deal with a moody boss anymore or anything like that. You don't have to worry if you can approach your boss and ask them, how do I do this, with the fear of maybe being punished or being, you know, kicked out of the business because you just don't know what you're doing. So now you know what you're doing, you become more confident in what you're doing, and if you don't know what you're doing, there's a manual for you to refer to.
Yeah.
And over time you can upskill yourself. It also gives people the opportunity to cross-skill. So if you have a manual for somebody who does the marketing role, and you have a manual for someone who does the admin role, the day the admin person is not there, even the marketer can then go and do the admin person's job. And if over time they realize, hang on, that's more where my skill set lies and not in the marketing field, then you can just cross-skill people very, very easily.
I think of our small business. There's so many processes. Even setting up for this conversation today, yeah, at my office, it happens to be for Monday's show. It's a process to interview.
Yes.
Then we gather daily thoughts for our subscriptions through Vodacom, Cell C and MTN. That's a process. There's so many processes. It's actually frightening. But as a small business, you never have the time to sit down and record them yourselves. You kind of just, and then that intellectual property kind of lies inside someone.
Yeah.
So if Kevin had to leave here, I'd be in trouble, because so much, you know.
That's exactly what we're trying to take away, is that also that dependency. Yeah. If somebody calls in sick at work as a small business, you don't have a second version of them that can just fill in. You normally have one person doing, you know, with one skill set.
I even find in big corporate now, you know, the fat has been cut out of businesses.
Exactly.
So even in a corporate, someone is not there for a week or two, it stands still. There used to be a time when things will keep moving, and that's the benefit of corporate. But in big corporate now, you know, one person's doing 2-3 people's jobs. So it's in general very, very important, perhaps, I'm beginning to believe, to dictate or to record the processes in the business in a very effective way, so that you can replicate, and maybe it makes it easier for someone to be able to do 2-3 functions then.
See, the added benefit is it also makes it easier to choose your apps that you'll use in the business to facilitate, you know, working faster, more efficiently. It will help you if you want to design your own app, if you want to create your own software.
When you first understand the whole process,
you need to understand everything that you're doing and then benefit from it. So if you're buying something that is off the shelf, there's a lot of things that are out there on the off the shelf. A lot of the products that are out there are meant for big corporates, and the price tag comes with it. So and if you can't afford it, it may be cheaper for you to go develop something that suits specifically your business. And it could be something that you one day could sell to the industry as a whole, especially in a day where people are being so innovative, coming up. We've never had digital education before. Now we have it, but we need to find a way to teach other people how to access it, how to even work on those platforms, how to, you know, create other types of jobs just purely from a new industry bursting like this.
So would you say to someone like Janessa, and you have the experience, Janessa, you've built something before and you sold it and now you're starting a new venture, are you thinking of recording processes from the start, or is that the furthest from your mind? Just get this thing going and you're excited and...
My personality type, it doesn't lean towards processes, unfortunately, but I know that, especially in the background I came from, you know, we were CETA accredited with 6 or 7 different CETAs, and that is all process driven. Yeah. So it made me realize the importance of it. So I'll definitely get somebody like you to put all my processes in place.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I do absolutely believe that if you don't have systems and processes in place, it's just so easy for things to slip through the cracks.
All right, Marang, you deal with SMEs, and our country needs SMEs to succeed, and we all say that that's the solution to job creation, but we actually make it hell of a difficult for SMEs. Big corporates don't pay fast enough, and government does not pay fast enough. So our SMEs are dependent on the big boys and girls to survive, but the big boys and girls are not coming to the party. So it's very difficult to succeed as SMEs, but what are you picking up are the challenges, the obstacles that SMEs are facing in our difficult economy, a very negative sentiment? Just tell us what you're picking up.
I think the media and just the general sentiment, the negative sentiment that you're talking about is a huge factor. It really is. When you were talking earlier about the three stages, the three elements of leadership, motivation, it was your very first one.
Yeah.
And if we are feeling demotivated by everything that we hear, it then makes it harder for us to then exist. But what I realize now is small businesses or the entrepreneurs that exist nowadays are more about collaborating in order to solve their problems. So we're not stuck anymore. We're not as stuck, and we're slowly moving away from depending. And yes, we still do need large corporates to give us money to grow our businesses. We still need their support in terms of them being on their preferred suppliers list. But we seem to be getting along with just collaborating with one another. And that's, in a way, is reviving the spirits. And you know, we're now rising above those challenges. Access to markets is a big issue, but again, if access to markets becomes an issue because the structures that we have in place are not necessarily correct in order to facilitate our access to markets. So we need big, we still need big corporates to then participate in, you know, not just money, but actually supporting the business to develop the right skill sets within the business to then be sustainable beyond the paycheck for enterprise development or supplier development or one purchase. So we need those structures to be in place. But I think if we collaborate more, we definitely will go much, much further.
Because I find very often, that was my perception always, when SMEs collaborate, it's because I'm not doing well enough. So an SME that's doing well, then you don't have time to collaborate in terms of networking, for example.
Yeah.
Yet everyone says, you must network. And people who are really busy struggle to network because they're actually hell of a busy. So you often find a bunch of people who's not doing so well networking to hopefully collaborate in order to do well. I don't know if that makes sense. But it's not easy out there to survive as an SME. The people bandy around statistics that, 70-80% SMEs fail. Is that what you think is it true in practice?
I think it is true because it boils down to planning. You know, it boils down to the planning and the structure that you want in your business. The people that are not clear about that fail. And they fail because they struggle and the struggle becomes too much and they give up. So that motivation, then they become too defeated. But where they have a plan and it's clear what that plan is, it's easier for me to go to the next person and say, listen, this is my plan. This is where I need your support. Instead of saying, I'm struggling, I just need support. Now you're more specific about what kind of assistance you're asking for. And I find those people survive a lot longer in the ecosystem, and they know where to ask for help. They do a lot of the research. They network effectively. Now, people who struggle to network is because they actually, you show up at a meeting and you hope somebody speaks to you. You have to have a purpose even when you go to a networking session. Find out who, if you can, find out who's going to be there. Find out who you can speak to. Find out what you're going to speak to them about. Don't just stand there because then it washes away and it also makes it difficult to collaborate. But know your story. Go in there and speak with purpose to anyone that you come across and it will become easier.
Okay, before we start wrapping up, what are the top five skills for Janessa to succeed technically, and it might be unique industry, and we know she's got background and the next half hour is all about what she's doing.
Yeah.
What are the top five skills you need to, shall we say, start up and succeed the first two or so years? Doesn't have to be first, five, just the top skills.
I think first it's important to understand the business that you're going into. Understand even your personality in that business and where your personality might either come in the way or propel that success. That would be my number one. Number two, I would say go out there and ask for help and ask for the right kind of help. Entrepreneurs tend to go out asking for money when it's so that they can grow their businesses, but really what they need is customers, right? And if you get the customer service right, then you won't actually need the extra funding, because it's not funding to support your business. You actually need customers. You need to record your sales. The third one would be measure the activities that happen in your business and understand what activities happen in your business. And by measuring it, I mean understand where you're wasting time and understand where you could be saving time, either by adding more people or by adding more tools to the business. But understand what activities that you're doing in the business. The fourth thing is understand if you're in it to make money and purely money, because that will drive the way you do things, or if you're in it to create change. And change, be it in your community, in the world, in the way we are thinking about the way we eat. Think about what you're doing it for, because I really think that will drive your success factors and how you do things. And number five, enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, it is going to be painful. It is going to be painful, especially on the days when by default it is painful. So.
And running an SME is painful.
Running an SME is painful.
You're the toughest boss. You're your toughest boss.
I do. And I mean, I worked in the corporate environment for 11 years before I jumped ship. And I could probably list all the things that I disliked about my previous bosses. But I now probably, my list of things that I dislike about myself as my own boss is probably longer than for everyone else, because I push myself that much harder. But I enjoy what I do, so pushing myself doesn't really feel so painful. It's when someone else says, can you just stop for 2 seconds and actually just be with us, that I realize that I've gone off the charts.
Marang Marikimane, business in theory. You help small businesses understand their processes, the entire business,
yeah,
and help them develop growth strategies. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been wonderful having you with us.
Thank you.
And now we get more practical. We talk to an SME owner, CEO and founder, Janessa, later. And it's Think Digital College. We'll find out. In fact, let me ask you right now before we go to the next section. Are you doing this for money, or are you doing it to change the world? What drives you?
I think a little bit of both, to be quite honest with you. I'm a natural entrepreneur. I'm a bit of a serial entrepreneur. But at the end of the day, I think the reason I love education so much is it is so self-fulfilling. And the kick you get out of helping people and helping people realize their own potential, mm-hmm, I don't think anything equates to that, no amount of money.
Right, stay tuned for that conversation with Janessa, the founder of Think Digital College. Fascinating education model. If you have kids at all in school, primary school, all the way from grade R to matric to grade 12, stay tuned. You may just change your view of how you educate your children. Stay tuned. CliffCentral.com.